Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Lauren Tucker, Dinah Jansen, and Paige Lang. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines.
At their last meeting, Council voted to provide $300,000 to support the city's first inclusive playground, set to be built in the Rideau Heights District. Over the last year, community members have come together to form the Inclusive Play Project, working with Extend a Family and a number of other organizations, in response to a lack of inclusive and accessible playgrounds in the city. Inclusive Play Project representatives shared evidence of this gap found in a survey the group conducted recently.
We've also recently completed an online survey where we had almost 200 responses. Throughout that survey, we found that 98% of people who responded felt that Kingston playgrounds currently do not meet our community's needs. 98% also said that they did not feel that Kingston playgrounds were inclusive to all. 85% said that they did not feel that our playgrounds currently address the age span of 0 to 12 years, which is what is currently stated.
They also shared some of the most prevalent feedback they received from community members.
On our survey, we also had hundreds of responses that were added to the questions that we asked. I'd just like to take a moment to share a couple with you. One of them stated, "The lack of inclusive play spaces isolated my daughter from her peers and has caused long-term mental health and social difficulties. If she had been able to continue enjoying her friends after she began using a wheelchair, she would likely not have the struggles as significantly as she does." We also heard from a number of families who indicated that the current Kingston parks do not meet the needs of families who have multiple children at different ages and stages and abilities. I think one of the things that we noticed in a lot of the responses with it is that there are a lot of small parkette type places throughout Kingston. And while that makes it so that it's easy to get to one, people are finding that there isn't the play value in terms of wanting to stay for a longer period of time. Or if you have children of multiple different ages, there aren't things there that are interesting for all of them. And so I think that really kind of struck us in terms of how do you find to develop a space that not only meets the needs for not one age group or ability, but kind of how do you find a way that people can play together and want to stay.
In addition to classic features of a playground like slides and monkey bars, an accessible playground would include features like rubberized surfacing, ramps, and a wheelchair rocker. The project has already received an outpouring of support from the community over the last few months, with close to $200,000 already being raised by Inclusive Play Project volunteers before coming before Council last week. Prior to the Council meeting, Inclusive Play Project volunteers gathered before City Hall and were even joined by some councillors sporting Inclusive Play Project shirts to show their support.
When we first pitched this idea, it started as a park, and then it became a fundraising campaign. And now what we have on our hands is very clearly a movement that grows by the day, and we are so excited to be a part of it.
Councillors unanimously approved the motion to provide $300,000 from the Municipal Capital Reserve Fund for partial funding of the Inclusive Playground Project. The city also provided public land at Shannon Park, and will be conducting maintenance of the structure when it is complete.
Isn't this great to see a community project that started a year ago and look how much progress they have made? I'm humbly urging everyone in this council to endorse this tonight. Think of what addition this would make to Kingston, and that we're really starting a kind of new park that could be a pilot for all other parks in the area.
With the project having an estimated budget of $1.5 million, the Inclusive Play Project is continuing to raise funds. They currently have $650,000 in grant requests pending approval, and additional grant applications in progress. There are also high hopes that more of these structures will be built around the city after this milestone is complete.
We don't want this to be the only park. Given the incredible success of the fundraising and just the response from the community, we want to see more of these.
More information about the Inclusive Play Project can be found on their website.
A new study released in Kingston warns that Ontario's hospital workers are in, quote, deep turmoil.
as working conditions become increasingly detrimental to their well-being. In January, QB's Ontario Council of Hospital Unions, OCHU, presented the worrying findings of a poll amongst Kingston hospital workers, revealing that 43% of staff say they dread going to work and 90% lack confidence in the government's plan to improve public health care. Seeking the story behind statistics like these consistent across the province, researchers Dr. Margaret Keith, Dr. James Brophy, and OCHU QB President Michael Hurley conducted a qualitative study. Dr. Brophy and Hurley held a conference in Kingston City Hall to share their findings. The study, entitled Running on Empty, is based on 26 interviews with QB hospital workers, including nurses, personal support workers, and clerical staff. It was also supported by a poll surveying 775 hospital workers, including those working in Kingston. The presentation of the study started with grim excerpts directly from the interviews.
You think it can't get any worse, and it just got worse. I was going through increasing panic attacks before work, crying before I got out of the car. I loved going to work when I first started. Now, I dread it.
Seeing the system, the way it is, I'm getting scared to get sick myself. Do I really want to come to my own facility? The exterior looks fine, but on the inside, everything's falling apart.
They've cut me up into pieces. They spread me so thin that I don't have the time to provide the level of care that I would love to provide. So, I just do what I can. That's where the pressure comes in. And the anxiety and the guilt and the feelings that I should have done more, but I can't. I can only do so much. And then with the issues that we have at work and the concern about patient neglect and the physical part of the job is so draining, my job is killing me.
It's embarrassing to say I don't have the compassion that I used to have. I'm not at all the nurse I wanted to be. We all recognize that it's hard for patients too. This is not the kind of healthcare they deserve.
The accompanying survey revealed 70% of Kingston hospital workers who answered reported struggling with anxiety. Feelings of stress and frustration were expressed across the board by nurses, cleaners, and administrative workers alike. Dr. Brophy had the following to say on the matter at the press conference releasing the findings.
You can see that sense of, you know, I can't do the job that I want to do, and every day I go home and I feel like I failed. I'm not the nurse that I wanted to be. And that even included cleaners, for instance, who say they couldn't keep the rooms clean. They are doing more work with less, which means that they're not doing their jobs properly and so on. And so, you know, they started fearing that, you know, someone would get sick and get an infection due to their inability to do their job properly. Clerical workers, administrative workers that deal with the public and organize, you know, procedures and so on, facing all kinds of frustration and anger from the public because they can't get their MRI, they can't get the cancer treatment they want, they can't get their dialysis, and feeling their understanding, but at the same time being at the other end of that really abuse.
Violence against healthcare workers was also a largely discussed piece of the findings in the study, contributing to the feelings of stress, frustration, and hopelessness. Both in the study and the presentation, the authors noted the gendered aspect of this piece, with the majority of Ontario's hospital workers being women and the violence in the workplace reflecting the greater issue of increasing violence against women. Both Dr. Brophy and Hurley spoke to this as well.
We started off looking at the issue of violence, which was concealed from us. We didn't know that violence was an issue in healthcare, and now healthcare has become arguably one of the most dangerous and violent workplaces anywhere. And of course, you can't disconnect that from the fact that 85% of healthcare workers are women, and so much of what you hear seems like violence against women in society. When we did the interviews with healthcare workers, it was one story after another about physical attacks, ones that caused serious, in some cases, people literally couldn't go back to work. They were so badly injured, punched in the face, kicked, thrown, had their head thrown through a wall.
Disfigured with a fork.
Yes.
Like that.
I can't, honestly, I'm trying to use the hyperbole here. I had never heard anything like it. Margaret Keith and I, after we would do focus groups, saying, what the heck did we just hear here? Like, this is unbelievable. And nobody knows about this. And of course, that's when we found out about this whole thing of silencing and the fear of talking publicly about this.
In the study, workers were also asked their thoughts on the causes of the deterioration of their work environment. Workers responded understaffing, deregulation, underfunding, and privatization as being at the root of the issue, with Ontario being particularly challenged with 18% less hospital staff compared to the rest of Canada, and the lowest per-person hospital spending of any province.
But Ontario, in every metric, is below the Canadian average, whether it's nurse-to-patient ratios, whether it's beds to, you know, portions of the population. In every single metric, Ontario fares worse than Canada, and Canada is now falling farther and farther behind.
You've got a great example right here in Kingston. You know, you used to have two hospitals with two functioning emergency rooms. Now you've got one.
The study concludes stating that measures to moderate workloads across the hospital workforce, like nurse-to-patient ratios, are urgently required, and warning that the staffing crisis will continue to worsen without intervention. However, with previous studies not receiving any response when sent to provincial government representatives, Hurley expressed his doubts.
I mean, I don't want to be cynical, but I'm not hopeful. Based on the fact that all the other studies I responded to, I'm not that optimistic, but we're hoping.
Once again, that was OQP President Michael Hurley and researcher Dr. James Brophy, co-authors along with Dr. Margaret Keith of Running on Empty. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative.
Thanks, Christina. Here's your arts and culture news for today. Beginning September 3rd and running until the 14th at the Union Gallery is Home Again, Queen's Fine Art Alumni Exhibit. Marking 55 years of fine art education at Queen's, this exhibition of visual artwork from fine arts and arts education alumni will be a showcase, celebration, and expression of the hopes for the future of the program. This exhibition includes work from over 70 alumni and is free for the public to peruse during open hours in the main space. Exhibition hours may vary, and you can learn more at uniongallery.queensu.ca. Continuing this month at the TED until August 31st will be Contemplating Glaciers, A Dialogue, a solo exhibition from Jan Kabatov, curated by Jessica Turner. This exhibition will include photography, sculpture, paintings, video, audio, and even a virtual reality element using the Oculus headset and footage from a documentary on the melting of the Athabasca Glacier, currently in production from this creative team. All ages are welcome to peruse this exhibition in the TED Center Gallery, and it is free to do so, though exhibition hours may vary. There's also upcoming workshops on topics like Indian folk art, scrapbooking, monoprinting, and watercolor in September at the TET, as well as new events and exhibitions all the time. And to learn more, you can visit tetcenter.org. Registration for fall term programming at the Kingston School of Art is now open, including programs for youth and adults and workshops. This includes adult classes in drawing, fiber and textile arts, mixed media, painting, printmaking, and sculpture, and youth programs for kids ages 6 to 16, as well as families. There are also a variety of 1 and 2 day workshops available for registration now. For more information and to register, visit ksoa.info. At Modern Fuel Art Gallery, in partnership with the Union Gallery, is the Twofold Artist in Residence program, led by co-directors Jill Glatt and Berlin Reed. This program provides an opportunity for local BIPOC artists to dive into their practices, collaborations, and discussions while having access to designated workspaces, professional development and mentorship, communal events, and a studio visit platform. This year's artists in residence are Shanique Pert, Alicia Udvari, Shamara Pert, and Samara Khan, who worked at the Union Gallery in July and Modern Fuel Art Gallery in August. Also coming up at Modern Fuel are 3 new exhibitions beginning September 14th and running until November 9th. In the main gallery is In the Shadow of the Sun by regional artist Alyssa Scott, in the State of Flux Gallery, A Common Babble by extra-regional artist Nikita FK, and in the Window Gallery, Artwork Care Work, Portraits of Artists / Mothers by extra-regional artist Claire Drummond. For more information, visit modernfuel.org. And this is your last week to catch summer events at Springer Market Square. On Tuesday evening, Salsa in the Square runs from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Enjoy a free beginner class, then hit the open dance floor until 10 p.m. Also this Wednesday evening, enjoy Swingin' Summer, a live music throwback to the era of romantic, joyful, and jazzy songs from 7 to 8 p.m. in Springer Market Square. And this Friday evening, Springer Market Square hosts Kickin' It Country from 7 to 8 p.m., featuring live local country music. For more on these events, visit downtownkingston.ca. Every Monday at Daft Brewing, Bon Evans hosts Music Trivia Mondays at 7 p.m. Put your music knowledge to the test in four more rounds of trivia, whether you're going it solo or in a team, with clips, questions, and more. The winning team walks away at the end of the night with a $50 gift card and bragging rights, so be sure to check it out for a Monday night of music and fun. This is also your last week to catch Movies in the Square in Springer Market Square. Lilo and Stitch starts at dusk on August 29th. Be sure to mark your calendar now and bring your blankets, chairs, and bug spray to experience your favorite films for free this summer under the stars. Coming up at Kingston's Independent Cinema, The Screening Room, you can catch special screenings of 1963's The Birds on August 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th as part of the Summer Alfred Hitchcock Presents series, and the 40th anniversary screenings of Purple Rain on August 27th, 28th, and 29th. As well, more shows have been added to Cat Video Fest 2024, a fundraiser where 10% of all ticket sales will be donated to Kingston Animal Rescue, featuring compilations of the latest and best cat videos of the internet on the big screen. New showtimes will run on August 26th and 29th. There are also new arrivals and special screenings all the time, so be sure to check back at screeningroomkingston.com for all of your cinema adventures. That's all I've got for you on Arts Desk today. Now I'll turn it over to Jesse Bell at the Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report for Monday, August 26th, 2024. It was a disappointing start to the 2024 football season for the Queens Gaels as they were on the road in Windsor over the weekend. Scoring began early in the first quarter as the Windsor Lancers tallied a 12-yard touchdown run from quarterback Danny Skelton. Queens would respond at the start of the second quarter with a 20-yard Tyler Mullen field goal, which culminates a 11-play, 83-yard drive for the Gaels. Windsor would rally back with a quick touchdown to Giovanni Cunningham from Danny Skelton, but the Gaels would score 10 points before the half to make it a 14-13 ball game, with Queens' first touchdown of the season coming on a 54-yard pass from Alex Freakin to Matt Camillo. Windsor would score a 16-yard safety at the start of the third quarter, making it 16-13. They would add a Daniel Hector 7-yard touchdown from Danny Skelton to make it 23-13. And then a second safety for the Lancers put them up 25-13 at the start of the fourth quarter. The Gaels would eventually maintain some momentum and score on an Alex Vreeken 1-yard quarterback sneak, and then Tyler Mullen would tally a rouge on the kickoff to lower the gap to a 4-point deficit. Ultimately, the Gaels would be unable to overcome this 4-point deficit, losing to the Lancers by a score of 25-21. This was a disappointing start for the Gaels, but a much improved result over last year, where they also lost to the Windsor Lancers on the road, albeit by a much more lopsided score of 25-9. The Queens' defense played very well, generating turnovers and keeping their team in the game, but the offense did struggle, tallying 4 interceptions, 3 of which went to defensive back Robert Springer. The Gaels will play on Saturday, August 31st at Richardson Memorial Stadium against the McMaster Marauders in the Queens' home opener. Pre-game show, sponsored by Something in the Water Brewing, is scheduled for 5:45 p.m., 6 p.m. scheduled kickoff time. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best. For 142 years, the Queens Gaels have called Kingston home. The tricolor has become as synonymous with the city as the limestone upon which it was built. But that love, admiration, and respect comes with a powerful commitment. A pledge to protect this house. On Saturday, August 31st, the Queens Gaels will host the McMaster Marauders for their home opener at Richardson Memorial Stadium. Kickoff is scheduled for 6 p.m. and CFRC's coverage will begin at 5:45.
It's time for CFRC's concert and events calendar. Have an event you'd like covered? Reach out through CFRC.ca today. On Monday, August 26th, drop into the club at the RCHA for Jazz Monday. The Jazzy Afternoon Show with Inner Harbor Jazz is the best way to spend your afternoon. The tunes play from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Admission is $5. As part of their monthly musical residency, the Cove Inn hosts solo artist Jared McGrath. With the mix of looping effects creating soundscapes, Gerald McGrath is giving you a relaxing afternoon show from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. The Spire hosts one of YouTube's most popular comics, Steve Hofstetter. Prepare for a night of laughs and fun from 7:30 to 9 p.m. For tickets, go to stevehofstetter.com. Since 2000, dancers have been heading over to Newlands Pavilion in McDonald Park for summer swing dancing. The dancing runs from 6 to 8 p.m. and is free to attend. On Tuesday, August 27th, Tom Savage and friends host Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour and Jam. Head down to the club at the RCHA from 4 to 7 p.m. to enjoy a drink and watch the show. Admission is free. The Cove Inn hosts solo rock and roll singer-songwriter Kentucky, supported by the Family Band. Rock out and enjoy the show from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is free. Head down to Fernand's Family Farm for acoustic guitar night with the acoustic guitar stylings of Anton Dufour, Adrian Belieu, and Van Larkins. Doors at 7 p.m. and admission is $30. Come to the oldest market in Ontario at Kingston Market Square. The market features local produce, artisans, and more from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The market runs Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Spice up your Tuesday with free salsa in the square. Head down to Kingston Market Square from 6:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a free salsa dance lesson followed by open dance floor until 10 p.m. No experience necessary. On Wednesday, August 28th, join Sean McCullough and friends for Wings and Tunes on the patio at Cove Inn. Grab some piping hot wings and enjoy the show from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. Admission is free. Swing by Spearhead Brewery for $5 dates covering tunes from your favorite artists including Blue Rodeo, Neil Young, Mumford & Sons, and the Lumineers. The show is from 7 to 10 p.m. and is free to attend. Head down to Springer Market Square for Swing and Summer featuring Dixie Plus One. Listen to the romantic songs of yesteryear from 7 to 8 p.m. The show is free to attend. Fresh Food Market Pop-Up is giving you local produce and pre-made food that won't break the bank. The Fresh Food Pop-Up is at Rideau Heights Community Center from 2 to 5 p.m. this Wednesday. The market is in local community centers around Kingston Wednesday to Saturday. For times and locations, check out freshfoodmkt.ca. Head over to Musicky Cafe and Whiskey Bar for Musicky Live Drawing, an afternoon of unrestricted life drawing. For $5, enjoy the relaxing vibes and bring your own supplies for some inspiration. Live music starts at 8 p.m., so grab a drink and enjoy. On Thursday, August 29th, the club at the RCHA hosts Beats Workin', the last Thursday of the month tradition. The show plays from 7 to 10 p.m. and is just $5 to attend. This Thursday, head down to Hotel Wolf Island for alt-country band Cody Allen James & Co. The tunes play from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Enjoy a night of laughs and fun at the Cove Inn featuring stand-up comedian and actor Tom Green. The show is from 7 to 10:30 p.m. and tickets are $90, including dinner and a show. Get ready to sing your heart out. Daft Brewing is hosting Drag Sing-Along Roulette with special host Rowena Way. All performances are chosen by you. The show is from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. and the event is free to attend. Head down to Kingston Market Square for Movies in the Square. This week is Disney classic Lilo and Stitch. The movie starts when the sun goes down, so 9 to 10:30 p.m. The movie is free, but don't forget extra cash for snacks. On Friday, August 30th, every Friday at Blue Martini, Christopher Jackson and friends play your favorite covers as well as some fun originals. The show is from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Enjoy a happy hour TGIF with Dan Chabrineau at the club at the RCHA. Enjoy tunes and a good time from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. Admission is free. Stay and grab a drink for the Calorie Night Band from 8 to 11 p.m. Tickets are just $5. Head over to the Mansion for triple header North by North, The Backsteps, and Monarch. Rock out, grab a drink, and enjoy the show for $15, doors at 7 p.m. The Merchant hosts local rock band Luscious with special guest Piner. The show runs from 10:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. and the show is $12 to attend. Hang out, grab a drink, and have a good time. Head over to Hotel Wolf Island for a groovy night of dancing and fun with Mindflowers DJ featuring vinyl DJ LK. The psychedelic set is sure to get you dancing from 5 to 7 p.m. The event is free to attend. Prepare for a dazzling night of cabaret at Carlo Estates Winery with dinner theater, live musical performances, and witty banter. The show is from 6 to 9 p.m. Bring your best Brooks and Dunn song and head down to the Buckle for country karaoke. Karaoke is from 9 p.m. to midnight. Grab a drink and have fun. On Saturday, August 31st, head down to Confederation Park for free live music. Enjoy the music from Sarah Zanibbi, Who's Here, and Nice On. The tunes play from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The show is for all ages. Drill Hall at Base 31 hosts Canadian rock legends Trooper and Honeymoon Suite. The show is bound to have you singing and dancing all night long. Doors are at 7 p.m. and tickets range from $79 to $169. Enjoy the beautiful view at Juniper Cafe with the soulful musical stylings of Frank Ryan. Grab a coffee and relax with the tunes from 4 to 6 p.m. The show is free to attend. Put on your best leather and bang your head at the Mansion this Saturday. Hard rock groups Sons of Static, No Small Affair, and Stunseed are giving you all that rock energy. Doors at 9:30 p.m. The tickets are $20 at the door. Kingston-based duo Roderick and Bairstow are playing country, rock, and folk at the Spearhead Brewery. Grab a drink and watch the show from 7 to 10 p.m. Admission is free. Go down to the Toucan for rock band Sweet Pete and the Heat. The late night set goes from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Admission is free. Attention all university students, each week a downtown Kingston chef prepares a dish using local ingredients. Come watch the demo from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Kingston Market Square. Try the dish for just $2. Head down to the Kingston Grand Theater for Boston-based stand-up comedian Gary Gulman. Get ready to laugh till you drop from 8 to 10 p.m. Go to www.kingstongrand.ca for tickets. On Sunday, September 1st, the patio at the Cove Inn presents live jazz and contemporary with Head Over Heels. The show is from 5 to 8 p.m. Admission is by donation. Head over to the Opinicon for live music on the patio with Timothy Lowton. The tunes play from 2 to 5 p.m. and the show is free to attend. Grab your yoga mat and walk down to Battery Park for free yoga in the park. Revive and rejuvenate from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. The session is held by a local instructor. The yoga is for all ages and abilities. Get ready for back to school with Neutrogena. The Boost Bus is supplying you with all your skin and sun care needs. The bus will be parked at University Avenue and Union Street and will be up and running from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. The screening room is giving you three classic movies this Sunday. At 1:20 p.m., celebrate Coraline's 15th anniversary. 4:10 p.m., comedy classic Ghostbusters. And at 6:40, Little Miss Sunshine. For tickets, go to screeningroomkingston.com. That's all for your live music and events calendar this week.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.